Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Good morning, Montana. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for the great Aaron Flint this morning. Aaron turned over the keys to another dirt kicker from the tundra, hailing from Culbertson, but Billings is home for me. I'm happy to sit in for Aaron. It's been a long time, kid, and for to sit in a seat and take the wheel of this this great ship, Montana Talks. So today we're going to try to cover a lot of ground today. We got a lot of guests lined up. Every time I'm in the studio, we kind of go Eastern Montana centric. I know that the show goes statewide, but I'm an Eastern Montana guy. I can't see the mountains from where I sit today, so we're going to talk about the plains out here primarily. But we do have a group out of Bozeman, the Gallatin Valley Sentinel Project, that's going to come on here later in the 6 o'clock hour to talk about some issues coming up tonight with the Bozeman City Commission. In the 7 o'clock hour, we've got Gavin Walter. He's the Billings Parks Director. We're going to talk about the Billings Rec Center that's currently under construction and the sports tourism drivers here in Billings and what that means to the region and the city of Billings. In the 7 o'clock hour, we also got Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus. So we're going to talk some ag issues at the tail end of the 7 o'clock hour. And then later in the morning, we've got my good friend and a consistent guest on the show, Attorney General Austin Knudsen, is going to come on and we're going to talk about some of the things going on across the state as it relates to the Department of Justice. Ashley Kavanaugh from Big Sky Economic Development is going to come in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk about Eastern Montana economic activity. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, my good friend Ty Elkin from Allied Investments is going to come on, and we're going to talk about fiscal policy, the investment strategies, what's going on with the markets, what's going on with the Fed, and how do you read this up and down stock market with all the crazy stuff going on around these days. So it's going to be a fun morning here. I'm happy and excited to kick the show off, and coming off of another marathon city council meeting last night here in the city of Billings. I'm a Ward 4 councilman for the city of Billings. I want to talk this morning in the 6 o'clock hour with those of you from Billings that are up and awake and engaged about a proposal that I put forward to consider on the ballot this fall, to reduce the number of politicians in the city of Billings, to take us from 11 council members to 7, and look for some efficiencies. But I'd really love to hear what people have to say about that. We had a lot of long conversation about it last night at the city council, and I want to hear what you think. So we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning and get some perspective, but we're going to take a quick break here before we jump back in, and then we're going to talk about getting rid of politicians in the city of Billings. Is that a good idea? How can we become more efficient in city government? How can we run government better like a business? So looking forward to that conversation. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to jump back in and talk about Billings. But this is Scott Aspenlighter with Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A heat advisory goes into effect on Wednesday for Billings. First for today, a good deal of sunshine, a very slight chance for an isolated late-day shower or storm back closer to Bozeman. High temperatures in the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. For tonight, lows in the upper 50s for Bozeman, low to mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America. The recently passed spending bill calls for additional investments in both defense and border security, including more resources for immigration and customs enforcement, ICE. Trump border czar Tom Homan spoke about the expected additions Monday.
It's a huge plus, 10,000 more officers.
Homan explained why the additional personnel will make a difference.
When people go to arrest somebody, they go into detention. Then they go into immigration hearing. Then if they get ordered removed, they get removed. That's all ICE's job.
He says ICE is finally getting the resources it needs.
There's over 600,000 illegal aliens in this nation with criminal histories walking the streets. We need to find them quickly.
Homan adds that the increase will especially help in sanctuary cities.
We know they're releasing public safety threats and national security threats to the streets every day because they don't honor our detainees. We know that.
The bottom line, according to Homan,
more boots on the ground means we arrest more bad people and make this country safe.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back this morning. This is Scott Aspenleiter sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. Great opportunity for me. I always enjoy taking the mic. You give a politician a microphone for 4 hours and you never know what you're going to get. But we never do walk away from an opportunity to sit in front of a mic. So, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you this morning. One of the things I teased out here in the intro to the show was I wanted to talk to folks in Billings and Yellowstone County about an initiative that I brought forward on city council here in Billings. We talked about it last night at the Billings City Council meeting, but my initiative that I'd like to put to voters is considering a reduction in the size of the Billings City Council. So, City of Billings is broken up into five wards with two council members per ward, and then a mayor elected at large. So, we have 11 council members to run our city of 120,000. Ironically enough, you know, when our city charter was created 40 or 50 years ago, our city was 60,000 in size, and even at that time, the city decided with 60,000 people to have 11 council members, which to me feels absolutely bananas. But as it's played out over the last 40 years, and as it's playing out recently, you know, my biggest concern is I've been on the Billings City Council for going on 2 years now, 18 months, 19 months, is the inefficiency and the inability to maneuver effectively for the residents and the citizens of Billings. The city council gets bogged down time and time and time again on issues that some are very big and very important, like the city budget and tax issues and rate issues and fees and those types of things, all very important issues that we should spend our time on. And then at other times we get bogged down talking about a public art policy, which we spent an hour on last night. So as we go through and operate as a city council, one of the things that I've always thought is, man, 11 people on a city council is a lot of people. That's a lot of personalities, a lot of egos, and a lot of feelings to try to navigate. And I've always thought that, man, it does not make sense for a city of 120,000 people to require 11 councilmen to run this city. So I put forward an initiative 2 weeks ago to talk about putting a ballot question on this fall in November 2nd in the general election to reduce the size of the city council, to eliminate four council positions and redistrict the city of Billings. And my purpose really in doing that was to make the city operate a little bit more efficiently, to look at some cost savings. Now, cost savings in eliminating those four council positions, we don't get paid a lot. We get, you know, insurance and retirement and benefits. But, you know, eliminating four people probably totals $50,000 in savings a year. It's not a lot. It's not the reason to eliminate four council positions, but the reason in my mind is to be operating more efficiently. If any of you have been on boards in your life or in your time, you know that the more people you get in the room to make a decision, the harder it is to come to consensus and to move things forward efficiently and effectively. And that's one of the things that constantly makes me question, why do we have 11? Managing relationships in a board of 11. You know, I've got 10 other people who all bring different perspectives, come from different walks of life and bring different points of view. But those are 10 different relationships to try to manage and build and foster so that we can work cohesively and work collectively on behalf of the citizens of Billings. And it's a hard thing to do. You know, we all generally have full-time day jobs. We are not full-time politicians. This is a part-time volunteer gig for the most part. It's a community service, and that's why a lot of us do it, because we believe in this city and we believe in where we're going. But, you know, to me, relationships are key, and the relationships are foundational in being able to work together and work to solutions and really guide the city. And with 11 people, there is no way to build the kind of relationships you need, in my mind, to really move the city forward. You get groups of four that work together collectively in the hopes that you can snag two other votes. But you have small groups that work together to try to move things forward instead of working cohesively as a full elected body. And so we had a long discussion about that last night and was not met with the same level of zeal that I have for eliminating politicians in this town. And so, there was a fair amount of pushback about the concept of reducing representation of the citizens and reducing the voice of the people. And that's something I want to talk about here this morning. And I'm looking for callers to call in and let's talk about what it would look like to reduce the size of the city council. But as we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to jump back into that conversation and talk a little bit more about what's the right size for governing our city and for driving the great ship of the city of Billings. So let's take a quick break. This is Montana Talks Radio.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You've probably heard the term Voterama a lot in recent days as the Senate wrestled with the big, beautiful bill. Well, here's a breakdown. It's Senate speak for a marathon voting series. That's where senators take vote after vote after vote on a series of amendments. The Votapalooza sometimes runs 10 to 15 hours. There's only 30 seconds to a minute of debate between all roll call votes. A Votorama only happens when the Senate is dealing with the budget or budget reconciliation. That's the special process the Senate uses to avoid a filibuster when it deals with fiscal or tax matters. 60 votes are necessary to clear a filibuster, but the Senate just needs a simple majority to pass a budget-related item under reconciliation, and there's no procedural vote to break a filibuster, unlike conventional Senate operations. There's limited debate under the budget, only 20 hours, but amendments are unlimited. That's why there's so many votes, and that's why the enterprise consumes so much time. Votoramas aren't even an annual thing, but the Senate has already done three this year, and more might be in the offing. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The week ahead.
Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will visit the White House. Bibi's third trip comes after the U.S. intervened in Israel's war with Iran, attacking Tehran's nuclear sites. Tuesday, a hearing is scheduled to discuss the sentencing schedule for Sean Diddy Combs. The hip-hop mogul was found guilty on two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution and acquitted of the more serious charges of racketeering and sex trafficking. Diddy could face up to 20 years in prison. Wednesday, no more extensions. President Trump's deadline of a 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs comes to an end. A number of countries have already inked deals with the White House, including the UK, Vietnam, and China. Friday, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Again, the latest film about the Man of Steel flies into theaters. It's the first one written and directed by James Gunn in the DC universe. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, sheep producers are invited to join industry leaders and over 10 sheep extension specialists at the 2025 American Lamb Summit, headed for Moscow, Idaho, July 23rd through the 25th. This premier event is your opportunity, they say, to engage with all segments of the sheep industry as they explore the newest trends and opportunities to boost the competitiveness of the U.S. sheep market. Held this year at the University of Idaho, the summit combines dynamic presentations, hands-on experiences in the meat lab and sheep center, and focuses in small group dialogues. ALB chairman and Kansas producer Jeff Ebert says educational conferences like the American Lamb Summit help our industry focus on improving sustainability and profitability, all while delivering an exceptional eating experience for consumers. For more information and to get registered, visit lambboard.com. In some other news here on this Tuesday morning, hey, it looks like the National Wheat Foundation's Board of Directors is pleased to announce the appointment of Ann Osborne as its new executive director. Ann has served as the foundation's project manager since January of 2021, playing a key role in the expansion and success of its core programs. Under her leadership, the foundation's signature initiative, the National Wheat Yield Contest, has grown significantly. Montana farmer and National Wheat Foundation chair Gary Broyles says that appointing Ann helps to ensure continuity in their programs and strengthens their ability to expand partnerships and continue impactful education, outreach, and research, and her leadership will benefit the entire wheat industry. Cattle producers, Western Video Market's big summer sale is July 14th through the 16th from the Silver Legacy Casino Resort in Reno, Nevada. Three big days filled with high-quality cattle from some of the very best ranches in America. It's a great time to be in the cattle business, and Western Video Market's mission has always been to provide its customers and buyers with innovative marketing opportunities. For more information and to watch the sale live, visit WVMCattle.com.
Growers across the region have successfully planted another Molson Coors barley crop, and before too long, combines will be rolling through the Golden Leg Field. Hi, this is Jackson Osh from Sweetgrass, Montana. Bill Coors coined the phrase, barley is to beer as grapes are to wine. That's why Molson Coors uses Moravian barley, a variety bred to be one of the highest quality and best yielding varieties available. There's a little bit of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming barley in every Coors banquet and Coors Light. We are proud to raise barley for Molson Coors, a company known for always supporting farmers in rural America.
Well, according to this week's USDA Crop Progress Report, the U.S. winter wheat harvest continues to chug right along and sits at 53% complete as of this past Sunday. As for the condition of the 2025 spring wheat crop, here's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Spring wheat condition, which has been languishing due to some pockets of drought in the northwest and northern high plains, seeing a little bit of a decline during the week. Exactly one half of the crop good to excellent. That's down from last week's 53%. 15% very poor to poor. That is up from last week's 14%. And that places this 2025 wheat crop far below last year's condition.
Meanwhile, the USDA also reported this week That's 74% of the U.S. corn crop remains in good to excellent condition. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, you guys remember the movie A River Runs Through It. Well, hold that thought for just a second. We're going to share some Montana trivia with you here because for the next 2 weeks, we're sharing Montana trivia as we highlight Montana's seven tourism regions. And at the end of the week, you get a chance to win an incredible tourism package exploring your own backyard right here in Montana. This week, we're highlighting Yellowstone Country and your chance to win a getaway at the Rock Creek Resort in Red Lodge or a winter stay at the B-Bar Ranch in the Paradise Valley. Parts of the 1992 movie A River Runs Through It, directed by Robert Redford and starring Brad Pitt, were filmed in and around Big Timber. Big Timber lies at the confluence of the Yellowstone and Boulder Rivers, making it a scenic and popular destination for fishing and outdoor recreation. For your chance to win this week's giveaway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. visitmt.com/giveaway.
All right. Thank you and good morning, Montana. Good morning, Billings and Yellowstone County. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint this morning. Trying not to steer this ship into the rocks or the jetties. But I started off the show by talking a little bit about a proposal and something being considered here in Billings. In a reduction in the size of the Billings City Council, from taking the city council from 11 members to 7 members. And so I gave kind of my perspective. And as we discussed it last night at the Billings City Council, a couple of the things that got brought up and that were brought as opposition or a little bit of concern from other council members were perspective that, you know, somehow reducing the size of the Billings City Council was going to reduce representation, that areas of the city of Billings were going to be less represented than other areas, and that overall the voters are the ones that need to be involved in the discussion to put something like this on the ballot. There were also equal concerns about how would we redistrict or reward the city. Right now, there's 5 wards. There's a northwest, a southwest ward. There's a midtown ward. There's a downtown ward, and there's a Heights ward, essentially. I mean, that's oversimplified, and those wards are kind of weave their way through different parts of the city and touch downtown in different in various ways. But I want to talk. I'm hopeful that some folks will call in and we can have a discussion about what that would look like, what that means for the city, and how we would do it. My hope is that the city council here over the next 3 weeks will eventually vote to put that on the fall ballot and let the voters decide. Is 11 the right number? Maybe it is. Or should we consider going to a smaller, more efficient, more effective form of government with 7? Montana Talks. All right. Well, let's continue this conversation about the size of city government here in Billings. And as I was saying before we took a break, some of the concerns about a reduction in the size of the elected body here in Billings is that somehow we're going to have a reduction in representation and that people will be less represented. There's conversations and concerns, I think, about, you know, well, what happens if you elect a dud? You know, what happens if you elect somebody from a ward and they're not very good? My discussion with those council members was, that's what happens in Congress. That's what happens at the county government level. That's what happens at the state government level. I mean, not every elected official is created equal. Not every district in the county, not every district in state government. Not every congressional district is created equally. We have a lot of duds as elected officials across the state and federal government. And it's incumbent upon the citizens to vote and to be educated and to pick the most qualified people who are going to represent them well. That might not be the way that I represent them. It might not be the same ideological philosophies or things like that, but hey, that's what the voters do. We give voters an opportunity to elect their government and put them in place to lead. And if they elect bad people, then they get bad results. And we see that in our own state. I mean, from my opinion, I think you see that a lot on the western side of the state, in Missoula County and in the city of Missoula. But here in Billings, I think we've done a fairly decent job. And in Yellowstone County, I think we've done a fairly decent job of electing good people to lead our local governments. So, you know, my goal and my push in reducing the size of government, I joke, I mean, Billings does not need more politicians. We need less, from my perspective. But, man, this is something to me that I see no harm in allowing the voters to decide. I mean, I think our electorate is smart enough to say, hey, yeah, Scott, we think you're wrong. We would like to stay with 11, and here's all the reasons we want to stay with 11. But putting this question on the ballot for the city of Billings to discuss, to me, gives the community an opportunity to say, yeah, no, we're happy with the way things are, or no, actually, we're grateful for the opportunity to have a say in reducing the size of government and making government more efficient. I mean, by God, as a business owner, I can tell you I would not want 11 partners to run my business. That would be a nightmare. I got one, and he's the best partner I could ever imagine. But it's like having 10 wives. I don't want 10 wives either. I want one, and I want one that I love and one that I can work with. Montana Talk.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back to Montana Talks. We've got Katie from the Gallatin Sentinel Project out of Bozeman. Katie, are you with me? Katie, are you there? Producer Caden had to run in and save me with punching the correct buttons. sorry, Katie.
No worries.
This is what you get when you get a dumb dirt kicker from the tundra trying to run all this electrical equipment here. Katie, thanks for jumping on and talking with us a little bit about what's going on over there in Bozeman. As a Billings City Councilman, I'm always curious what's happening in local government. So why don't you give us a rundown, kind of briefly at a high level, what you're seeing there in Bozeman and what you want to talk about here this morning.
Sure, yes. Good morning, and thank you for having us on and giving us this opportunity to chat a little bit about that. One of the biggest issues that we actually had reached out to you guys about was there is a group of people who are planning to attend the city commission meeting in Bozeman tonight to advocate for adopting the pride flag as an official city flag of Bozeman. So this comes after a recent city commission meeting where one of the commissioners, Emma Bodie, had rallied for support from other commissioners to put this on a future city commission meeting agenda to follow in Missoula's footsteps for adopting the pride flag as an official city flag. So for listeners who might not be aware, this comes after House Bill 819 was recently signed into law in May. So that bill defines which flags can be displayed in or on government property, including its schools. So it removes the ability to display flags or banners that could represent a political viewpoint, including those related to sexual orientation or gender, like the pride flag. So the city of Missoula adopted it as an official city flag recently that kind of shines light on a loophole in the legislation that, from what I've read, looks like our legislators are going to try to fix as soon as they have an opportunity to do so. But that loophole exempts official municipal flags. So yeah. If the city were to adopt it, then they're able to fly it, which would then also open up the opportunity for it to be flown on other government properties, such as public schools and things like that, since it would be officially representing the city. So we've learned that some activist groups in Bozeman, and these are groups that are pretty active, I would say, in terms of some major policy decisions that are getting made. So groups like Queer Bozeman, Forward Montana, there's an organization called the Countship of the ISCSM, which is, I think, to put it as briefly as I can, like a nonprofit focused on drag show performances is one of the forms of community outreach. So those three groups have been putting out some information over the past week, trying to organize people to come to the city commission meeting tonight, write in and give public comment. And so we have been trying to let the public know, you know, this is an opportunity to share what is largely the majority voice of people who do not want to see this happen.
Yeah. Katie, I'm grateful that you're bringing this to the forefront. And, you know, we saw, and just like the entire state did, what Missoula did, which probably was not surprising to most of us on the eastern side of the divide. Missoula kind of leads the way in making decisions like that and has a different view in their community. But in city government, I think it raises a good question about government neutrality and politicizing civic symbols and politicizing things like, you know, a municipal flag, so to speak, for a minority. And I think you raise very good questions. Do you get the sense in Bozeman there? I went to college at the great Montana State University as a Bobcat, but Bozeman was different 20 years ago than it is today. And, you know, it was an ag town and a cow town, and you used to see a lot of boots in Bozeman. And now a lot of those boots are designer boots. Not as many of them are dusty cowboy boots as they once were even just 20 years ago. But you get the sense that the conservative voice and the rational voice in Bozeman is going to show up for an issue like this? Or do you think this is one of those issues that, you know, is trying to fly under the radar?
I think initially it tried to fly under the radar in how it was brought up. And, you know, it's funny because we do hear a lot, and our organization has a range of volunteers, people who were born and raised in Bozeman, to, you know, some of those people that are viewed a little bit differently, you know, flighted from California to all the things that, you know, we believed Montana was. And it's funny because you hear that narrative a lot where, you know, don't bring your California politics with you here to Bozeman and to Montana, and they're not welcome. And the reality of that is that a lot of what's going on is actually coming from within. You know, and a lot of it is heavily, at least in Bozeman, is heavily influenced by the student population. And, you know, if you're not familiar, two of our city commissioners, one is our deputy mayor, Joey Morrison. He was very active, was a co-founder of what originally was Bozeman United for Racial Justice, which then later transformed into a group called Bozeman Tenants United. And they're very active in voicing concerns, trying to get the city commission to pay for tenant right to counsel. Another commissioner, Emma Bode, who I mentioned, who is working to have the pride flag adopted, her former employer was former Montana, Forward Montana, and that organization's heavily active in trying to influence our housing policy, trying to recalibrate survey data to proportionally represent renters, a lot of different areas that they're trying to influence. And, you know, it's not really what we've seen. It's not really that, you know, family demographic that has moved to Montana that's influencing these things. It's a different demographic that I feel like is coming within, from within, and it's easy to kind of shift that blame on outside voices. Not to say there certainly aren't some that influence things, but it's a little bit of a different picture than I think what gets painted sometimes.
Yeah. No, and that's good perspective. I mean, I think that's good perspective for the rest of us in the state to also remember and understand. A lot of people that move into Montana are political refugees, right? Yeah. That leave the coasts and come to Montana because they couldn't take the politics anymore from the East Coast and the West Coast, and so you know they probably do get unfairly lumped. But back to the issue immediately at hand. That meeting is tonight. Is that correct? Tonight at the Bozeman City Commission?
Yes. Tonight at City Hall at 121 North Rouse at 6 p.m. this evening. For anybody who can't make it to the meeting, they're able to submit public comment via email to comments@bozeman.net anytime before noon today, and that comment will be received and read by the City Commission. And there's also an opportunity to join the meeting online if you're not able to make it there in person. So we anticipate that they'll be taking public comment during the general public comment section of the meeting on this topic.
Katie, do you have some staunch allies on the Bozeman Commission currently? I mean, I've got to believe that there are a couple good, solid conservatives and leaders on that Bozeman Commission. Do you have a couple of them that are going to be trying to fight the good fight for you?
City government at the Bozeman level is supposed to be nonpartisan, but
that's what they all say.
Would not exactly feel confident in saying that there's any conservatives on the current city commission really at all.
Sure.
Some I would say have a little bit. One in particular, Commissioner Douglas Fisher, seems to have a little bit more of an open ear, I would say, to the voice of reason and wanting to make sure that voices are heard, but really have seen kind of a wide range of votes, from everyone on these things. And, you know, Bozeman adopted a DEI plan that everybody on there was supportive of, whether they were on the commission at the time or not. So, we don't really have any allies, conservative allies, I would say, on there. We're hopeful that they will take a step back, though, and truly listen to the comments being made.
Well, it sounds like it's time for the residents of Bozeman to stand up, to get engaged in local politics and show up to the Bozeman Commission meeting. You know, unfortunately, we try to hide under the guise of nonpartisanship, and that's a false flag, unfortunately. So, Katie, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in and let the listeners know what's going on in Bozeman, and folks in Gallatin County and Bozeman, I hope you get engaged and stand up and make your voice heard. Montana Talks, we'll be right back.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the idea that we shouldn't have billionaires, he said, I don't think that we should have billionaires.
All right, you are a self-described democratic socialist. Do you think that billionaires have a right to exist?
I don't think that we should have billionaires, because frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequality. And ultimately, what we need more of is equality across our city and across our state and across our country.
Equality. This is why I call him Marxist Mamdani, because to each according to his need, from each according to his ability. That's right out of Karl Marx's mouth. And that's exactly what he's talking about with equality here.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and these are certainly uncertain times with everything happening overseas. We've got to be on high alert here at home. Everyone needs to go to BYRNA.com. Why? I want you to see this non-lethal technology that can save lives, and you will see their compact launcher, the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. And you can incapacitate any perpetrator, regardless of size, 30 to 40 minutes. The great thing about Burner is it has kinetic rounds designed to incapacitate these people. The compact launcher is perfect for women if you want protection and you don't want to carry a firearm, and you can put it in your purse and nobody will know you have it. Burner, no background check, can be shipped directly to your door. BYRNA is trusted by all of the professionals because the technology is so superior and a great alternative to lethal force. Visit Burner, BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A heat advisory goes into effect on Wednesday for Billings. First for today, a good deal of sunshine. A very slight chance for an isolated late-day shower or storm back closer to Bozeman. High temperatures in the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. For tonight, lows in the upper 50s for Bozeman, low to mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Are you having...
Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Good morning, Montana. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for the great Aaron Flint. Aaron turned the keys over to this Ferrari to a guy that just got his learner's permit. So we're going to see if we can't stay out of the ditch. Caden already had to come in here and bail me out because I couldn't figure out this newfangled control board with 50 buttons in front of me and lights flashing. But anyway, we're going to get back to my Billings conversation. We got some comments that came in on the wire. Bish from Billings said reducing the number of Billings City Council members is an excellent idea. Unfortunately, it makes too much sense, so it probably would never be acceptable. John from Bozeman says cut member representative numbers to 5 or 7. Must be an odd number with voting. And spread the wage savings from 11 to the remaining representatives to increase their pay. Too many representatives creates a fog for the voters who to get things done with their ideas. Who is the best to call or contact with their concerns? You know, I think there's maybe some credibility to that, that we create these false narratives with too many of us. And then Montana Joe from Billings said, why are council members not affiliated with a political party? Party affiliation would help citizens know what candidates' perspectives are. Can that be changed? Unfortunately, in our charter, our council members are nonpartisan, and that would be a bigger change and a more complicated one. But we're going to go to Kevin in Billings here. And Kevin, thanks for calling in this morning. What do you got on your mind, sir?
So, you know, there were just some issues last night when I listened to this. Mike Bott, you know, he goes, well, you know, creating three districts and two members in each ward, then it seems like it's too large a representation. That was one.
Yep.
You know, and maybe 11's maybe the break that puts on some of this stuff. But I will agree with you that it's inefficient. And last night was a perfect example. I was watching the council, and I walked outside and did some stuff. And geez, I walked back in, and you guys are still talking about this damn arts thing. And I mean, this goes on.
True story.
This is crazy that, and I agree with you that it is so inefficient, and you guys drag these mining subjects out for hours. And
yeah.
It's crazy. You know, you go over to the county commissioners meeting, you better show up at the meeting because if you don't show up, it's going to be over pretty quick. Yeah. And they seem to get through their, they get to their agenda, they get the business done, and they move on. Yeah. And you guys spend days dealing with some of the craziest stuff, and it really disenfranchises the people that want to participate, because who wants to show up and sit there till 10:30 at night to say something? You guys are tired, they're tired, everyone's tired, it's ineffective, yeah. And you really just, you just really is, it's, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff to be done there, and efficiency is a huge one, and I don't know if this addresses it, but...
We got to do something, and Kevin, thanks, Kevin, thanks for the call. So, Kevin raised a good point. I mean, I think there are different ways to go with six. I mean, we could create six wards and have one representative per ward. That would reduce the size of the folks that you're representing. Councilman Boyette last night said, hey, let's create three big wards. Let's have a West End ward, a Midtown ward, and a Heights ward with two representatives from each. Those are big areas of the city. There is some credibility to that idea in having two representatives from each ward. If somebody is sick, somebody goes down, somebody can't make meetings, your ward is still represented in the voting. But man, when you sign up to do this, you're signing up to be there every Monday night. But what really drives me nuts is we talk about, well, there's a lot of other things that we could do to make these meetings more efficient. But if we don't reduce the size of council, I guarantee you what we will not do is we will not make the meetings any more efficient. So we talk about this and we could do this and we could do that, but we won't do it. So let's let the voters tell us what they want. So with that, we're going to take a break, come back at the top of the hour. This is Montana Talk.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.